The Citizens Police Review Board meeting for September 11th to order. We have traditionally started with introductions. I think we'll continue to do that. I think it might make sense. We'll start all the way over with Paul, I think.
Paul Dickinson, CPD.
Harry Castlow, board member.
Jamie Thornsberry, board member.
Denise Blazek, board member.
Reese Ellis, board member.
Doug Hunt, board chair.
Steve Jeffrey, vice chair.
Xavier Scruggs, board member.
Stephanie Coleman, board member.
Rose Wibbenmeyer, law department.
First item, obviously, is the approval of the agenda. I think we're okay with the agenda as is, but as I noted in a note that I sent out, if people wanted to add anything to the agenda at this point, this would be the time for us to do it or subtract. In that case, I'll move that we accept the agenda as printed.
Second.
All those in favor, it's been moved and seconded to accept the agenda as is. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? I think everybody's had an opportunity to look at the minutes, and so we will start with the August 14th, 2024 draft minutes. Do I hear a motion to accept the draft minutes as drafted?
So moved.
I second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of August 14th. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? And then, as you know, we had a supplemental. So we have the August 15th meeting draft minutes as well. Unless there's any request for a change, I'll move that we accept the August 15th, 2024 draft minutes.
Second.
Moved and seconded to accept the draft minutes for August 15th, 2024. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? And?
Were those both on the open and closed? Or
that, I was doing them one at a time, Rose. But so let's just, for formality's sake, we'll be sure to do a separate vote for the closed minute meetings for August 15th, 2024. Here we don't. We would probably have to go into a closed session to modify anything, but I think they're probably okay as is. So I will move that we accept the draft closed minute meetings as written.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to accept the draft closed meeting minutes. All those in favor say aye.
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 Can we pause for a second? So, Stephen, you made the motion on the closed.
Correct.
And then, Xavier, you seconded, is that correct?
I think
correct?
That's correct.
Yep.
And is that both the 14th and the 15th closed minutes, or just one?
Oh, pardon me, Rose. I think we had already approved the closed meeting minutes of the, but if you would, for clarification's sake, we ran through those pretty fast there, didn't we? Yeah.
If we didn't, I would move to approve the closed meeting minutes for the 14th.
And I would second. Moved and seconded to accept the draft closed meeting minutes from August 14th. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Important new business, and I hardly know how to begin on this. I've made sure that members of the board, in case they haven't read the latest addition to revised statutes of Missouri that applies to us, have it in front of them. You've also seen an attachment of the new ordinances that were passed at the September 3rd meeting and the accompanying council meeting. I feel like I have almost talked all that I should talk about this until we hear some other voices, but I don't know if the sensible thing for way for us to begin would be whether there's anything, perhaps, Rose, from your point of view, that you want to point out about what the new ordinances are doing.
Well, since the public may be watching and is here, some members are here in the room, basically state law changed and it had a preemption clause with regard to what local governments can do with regard to civil oversight. And because of that, our ordinance was revised to be in accordance with the new requirements for state law. So how that impacts our ordinance is in section 2145, we changed the definition of misconduct to limit it to those four categories of excessive use of force, abuse of authority, discourtesy, and use or use of offensive language, which those categories are defined in the statute. Changes to section 2147 include the board may provide an opportunity for public comment and meeting, and the public comment periods will conform to the rules or guidelines established by the city council. It used to be that your bylaws set forth those requirements, but because the state statute doesn't allow you to establish bylaws, that was incorporated so that you'll have those same time limits like the city council does. It removed the authority to establish the bylaws and procedures. There were addition of several items which had been discussed in the bylaws related to confidentiality, ex parte discussions, and conflicts of interest. The changes to section 2148 include a recent bylaw that you all had adopted with regard to staff's role in closed session that was incorporated. I knew that was important to you, so we made sure we put that in 2148. And then there was some minor changes to the language related to policies and procedures and ride-alongs, but that should probably still be okay. The big change is the board's duties were narrowed in section 2149. Now that the new ordinance is in effect, you will still review appeals from police chief's preliminary determination on alleged misconduct, but again, that's those four categories of misconduct. Number two, you will still have the ability to conduct jurisdictional review from the decision of the police chief. So that would be if the police chief says, well, I don't think they've even alleged misconduct, you'll still be able to review that to see if you agree or not and if it falls within one of the categories or not. Three, reviewing records of the police department related to complaints of alleged misconduct as defined in this article. And what that would be is that allows you to look at complaints that are not necessarily on appeal to you. Similar to how you previously had that audit function, we couldn't give you the audit piece because that would be a conflict with the statute, but because the statute says you can receive complaints and investigate complaints, you can still review complaints that are not necessarily on appeal to you. And then the fourth duty is the annual report to council. And then in section 2152, the chair had made a request to remove the requirements that the board provide written notice of its findings and recommendations to the city manager. So that won't be the board's responsibility, but staff will be sure that that occurs on the, you know, procedures in the backside. Section 2155 regarding mediation, that was changed so that now the police chief may refer complaints to mediation. Again, that's not something you all will do, but the police chief can still do it. Quite honestly, very few cases have been referred to mediation, especially since there was that police officer bill of rights and those short time periods. So I don't know that that would have a significant impact. In section 2156, we kind of clarified the language regarding volunteer advocates. This was not required to be changed necessarily other than the board's role in recruiting them. It was just sometimes we have people who are willing to serve as advocates and sometimes we don't. So instead of putting that burden of a must, it provides, you know, staff will have to do the recruiting and training. And, you know, if someone requests an advocate and we have volunteers who are willing to do that, then we will connect them. Basically, those are the changes. And I don't know if anyone has any questions. I do want to kind of give you a little update of also the procedural things that we've done on the backside. So we updated all your web pages to kind of correlate to this. And on the board's appeal form, we added the four categories of complaint to allow the person who's seeking the appeal to designate if they believe they fall within those categories. And we have a fifth category of other with a box that will allow them to explain, and they can hit more than one category if they want. We've also encouraged the police to do something similar on the complaint form, but they control the complaint form, so I don't know if they will or not. I think that's about it, and I think probably the another future thing that we will need to do is to work on updating that rack card and, you know, the cards and promotional materials that you all had worked on. We'll just need to look at that language again and make it align with this.
I will eventually have some things to say, but I want to give an opportunity for other members of the board to ask questions or make comments first.
I had a question as far as when we're looking at these four things. I look at abuse of authority could still be under a search and seizure, so it's like who's categorizing these determinations, because when we were doing our audits, we were finding that we were seeing different things than what was actually investigated. So I have questions on what that's going to look like.
In essence, I believe it will ultimately be your decision, whether that comes to you on appeal or jurisdictional review. The reason why I liked the addition of that to the appeal form is because if a person feels that it fits with one of those categories, that would be a factor that you could factor into your analysis. But abuse of authority is not defined, and I agree with you that a search and seizure violation is easily an abuse of authority violation.
Right. And when they were filling it out, I mean, a citizen doesn't necessarily know what it was, but this is their complaint that, you know, all these things happened, and it might not, they don't know that what category it falls under. So,
right. And so I think with the appeal form, we have the other, and they could just type whatever they wanted to say in the other box. And obviously if they just file an appeal without using the form, they'll still write whatever they want to write and submit. And then it'll be up to you to decide, does it fall within your authority or not?
So regardless of what they write, we see it, we're going to see that?
If they appeal it to you, yes, you'll see it. And then with regard to that third duty on review of complaints, you could look at complaints that haven't been appealed to you to see what that looks like. And are they, you know, are we applying and identifying things as abuse of authority or not? Or
kind of like the audit report will have like a list.
Kind of like that, yes, if that's how you want to handle that duty.
I think I already know the answer to this question, but I know that we still have some kind of power to review certain things. Are we able to still request information from CPD?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you're able to request information. And when you're actually doing your appeal work, it'll be very similar. It's just the categories narrow, and then you'll have to make a decision. So when you think through of how we usually go through the process of determining if the complainant has standing to file the complaint, was it timely filed, was the appeal timely filed, there'll be another step that'll be, do they allege abuse of authority, use of force, or discourtesy, or the whatever the fourth category is. I always forget that one. They say, you know, if you feel it falls within one of those and it meets that burden, you'd pass a motion on that piece, and then you would proceed to your full review just like you used to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
So with the city council, if I understood it correctly, the policy review part is going to move to an assistant manager. Has that happened? Assistant city manager, has that happened yet? Or
the assistant city manager position has not yet been filled.
Okay.
And so in the meantime, the deputy city manager, he couldn't be here tonight, Matt Unrein, he is going to serve in that role. And then Peyton works in the city manager's office. He is kind of going to be additional staff support. And then I also will be doing the staff support until the assistant city manager is hired. Once that position is hired, it's my understanding that we then transition
the primary staffing responsibility to the assistant city manager, and he'll still have he or she will still have the support of Peyton and other administrative people in their office, and then I will still be the attorney assigned to do the legal work for the board. And I'm going to clarify one other thing. So that public engagement on policy, that would be in that assistant city manager's responsibility. You all can still, when you're doing your reviews or your appeals, and if you see policy recommendations that come out of that, you all still can, you know, relay your recommendations with your letters and correspondence. I guess the other thing I should point out about policies, and we're going to, later on the agenda, we're going to talk about training. You can, you know, have training on specific, you can and should have training on policies. So you can decide whether you want to prioritize certain policies, the training on certain policies over other training or not as you see fit. If you don't have a preference, I'll just go through the list and start finding training.
Okay, well, pertinent to that, I am a literal reader of statutes. I want to go back to what strikes me as, for our present purposes, the most important part of that statute, which makes it clear that our power is solely limited to receiving, investigating, making findings, and recommending disciplinary action on complaints by members of the public against members of the police department that allege misconduct involving excessive use of force, abuse of authority, discourtesy, or use of offensive language. I would understand that to mean that unless we are finding that there has been an excessive use of force, an abuse of authority, a discourtesy, or use of offensive language, we cannot, we're limited to saying that's on or off. Those are the things that are involved. And I would point out that if we take these one at a time, excessive use of force is pretty well defined in the policy and procedure manual. And we've dealt with use of force problems before, so we know how to deal with that, I think, pretty well. And discourtesy, of course, is notoriously hard to pin down, but there are sections of the manual that have to do with discourtesy, and so we have some place to know where we stand. Use of offensive language is fascinating, but I don't think any of us are very lost about what might be offensive language. But I have serious concerns about abuse of authority. It either has a meaning or it doesn't have a meaning. When I look it up in the U.S. Code, for instance, the officer's conduct would have to be arbitrary and capricious, not merely mistaken. You know, not I was wrong, that officer was wrong, for instance, in deciding to enter somebody's house, but it was arbitrary and capricious on the part. That's my understanding. Now, I could very well be wrong about that, but if the aim of our educational sessions that Rose is talking about policies and procedure, the idea is that it's implicit that we should be able to be instructed in and learn about policies and procedures. If we've only got four things we can enforce, there's no implicit thing to do anything except those four, it seems to me. We've got to know what abuse of authority actually means in a legal and binding sense and how the police department is going to investigate abuse of authority complaints in the absence of there being anything that I can see in the policy and procedure manual.
The statute does not define abuse of authority.
Exactly. Exactly.
And we don't have to rely upon the federal definition in the U.S. Code. So
it's an absolutely undefined term that we may define as we wish, then. Is that what you're saying?
It will be up to the board to determine, based upon the facts, whether you feel there was an abuse of authority.
So it would be reassuring for the sake of the police officers to know what the consequences of an abuse of authority finding would be in terms of their record or disciplinary consequences.
Now, with all that said, you're still looking at misconduct, and the definition of misconduct would be any violation of, you know, any violation of federal or state law, local law or ordinance, any violation of city policies
or any violation of police department policies, rules, and regulations.
I can't understand that in terms of the law, Rose. The law says we can investigate these four categories. It doesn't say we can investigate other categories.
Right, but what I'm saying in those four categories, you can't just make up and say, this is an abuse of discretion if it's not also a violation of law, city policy, or police department policy. So you're going to still have that other analysis like you've always had, and then you're going to have, does it fall within those four categories? Does that make sense?
Right. So it's almost like an extra layer. So it would be not only did we find that this was a violation of search and seizure policy, but it was an abuse of authority kind of violation of. Is that kind of where we are?
Yeah. So your first analysis is, did they allege misconduct? And so misconduct is defined as any violation of federal law, state law, city ordinance, city regulation, or police department policy, guideline, directive, rule, regulation, or order in effect at the time of the incident. Then it has to involve excessive use of force, abuse of authority, discourtesy, or use of offensive language. So it'll be kind of like a two-step analysis of misconduct. And then if you meet all that and you say, yes, we think this is a violation, or they allege a violation of misconduct, and yes, this type of misconduct that they're alleging falls within one of those four categories, then you'll continue with your full review of the appeal.
Okay, so the question of how we interpret abuse of authority is entirely up to us, then, it sounds like.
Correct, because they did not statutorily define it.
Yeah, I was going to ask, who's the gatekeeper for this? Who's the person that says that we can or cannot do a certain thing or
with reviews? Regard to the appeals, when they file the appeals, you are going to get all your records from CPD, and then you will make that jurisdictional determination, just like in the past, and you'll still be doing this. Did they have standing to file the complaint? Did they timely file the complaint? Did they timely file the appeal? This will be one more of those jurisdictional steps that you will do in your process.
Okay, so are we going to continue to get every appeal and then we determine if it met those four or one of those four?
That is my understanding.
Okay. Well, that's makes me feel
so
a little bit.
Let's
say appeal, but it says complaints. Is it the is it the first initial complaint or is it the appeal of that complaint?
Well, you all usually just see the appeals.
I know,
we have
that's
an appeal
what we do
model.
Now. I know that's what we
so
are doing now.
Under
but
that number one duty of receiving appeals, you will do that analysis in that way. We preserve the jurisdictional review piece. So if the police say, well, we don't think it falls within one of these allegations, but the person still wants an appeal, you will then do a jurisdictional review piece to see if you agree or disagree with the police chief's determination on that. So you will still see some of those, and that ties into the statutory authority with regard to the statute says the boards can be limited to receiving complaints, okay? So because you can receive complaints, I think you can also determine whether or not it, you know, like you have to receive them to determine whether or not they fall into it. So you'll have the sort, the determination of the categories, definitely on appeals, definitely when they file jurisdictional review. And then in the context of the third duty, whereby, let me go back to that section. The third duty, review records of the police department related to complaints of alleged misconduct as defined in this article. That would be similar to the audit function, but not auditing, but instead reviewing complaints. You can look at, you know, are they categorizing them right with regard to those four categories? Okay.
Would the department be able to contest our jurisdictional review after we completed an appeal? Well, actually, they didn't have jurisdiction. I know you can't speculate on everything. But yeah.
By the time you complete the appeal, you've made your recommendations. Yeah. So that is what it is. With regard to the jurisdictional review, which it's kind of confusing because we refer to jurisdictional review and in that second duty, but which is slightly different than when you determine jurisdiction, which you do on every case. The jurisdictional review would be when the chief says, I don't think it falls within the review board's authority. I don't think they've alleged a complaint. I don't think they've alleged misconduct. I don't believe it is misconduct meeting those four categories. Any determination like that, if the person files an appeal to you, it comes up on that jurisdictional review section for you to then decide whether or not you agree with the chief or not. So that's kind of the check and balance on that process. And that is still preserved in our ordinance because, frankly, we thought it was very necessary. And again, it falls within what we believe the authority provided in the statute with regard to receiving complaints. So I think, as you go forward and you're seeing things and doing your work, I think it'll make more sense, and we might find that there are different areas that we hadn't thought of that we need to look at. But as far as the law department is concerned, we believe that the current ordinance will withstand a challenge. And so I think you're in good shape going forward, and as good as we can be, at least with this statute. Now, if David Tyson Smith and the other people in the legislature can actually pass a change to this state statute, then obviously the city would be more interested in returning to the model we previously had.
In regards to what they passed here, we still cannot recommend disciplinary action.
Let me pull up.
Yes, we can. It says on that number two.
I think we have it in there.
Oh, I thought that was one of the reasons.
The power receiving, investigating, making findings, and recommending disciplinary action upon complaints by members of the public on those categories.
Thank you. I just couldn't pull it up.
But I was just asking, is it in what the city council passed?
Oh, I don't know. That's a lot.
Tabs open.
Story of my life.
I mean, you're still going to review the, on appeal, you'll still do your normal process.
I'm getting confused by the appeal thing because the law doesn't say the word appeal anywhere in it. It says we're going to receive the complaints, but that's not what's happening.
So the state statute allows for the model that you have, but it also allows for the different model, which is a complaint-based model. So
there's more to this, or it's just written between the lines somewhere?
Basically,
probably no.
We have taken our current model, and it's my understanding the city wanted to keep its current appeal-based model. Instead of changing it to a complaint-based model. You can do either and not be in conflict with state statute as long as you stay within those four categories of types of complaints, which is also how we were able to preserve that review function with regard to complaints that do not come to you on appeal. Make sense?
Oh, go ahead.
On the question of what's reviewable, again, I'm this floating term abuse of authority is interesting because I can see that members of the board, I think that the members of the board here are balanced and careful, and but I can see that it would be possible to look at every allegation against a police officer as abuse of authority. I mean, so I suppose that it's theoretically possible then that every case would be reviewable under this new.
And that's kind of what I was talking about when I said that. It's like who's making that determination? And because if it's us and we're seeing search and seizure wasn't something we're allowed to do, but all of a sudden search and seizure, you know, a violation is still abuse of authority.
Well, Rose, suppose that when the police department updates their policy manual, say they do actually define abuse of authority, does that affect us in any way, or is that not where our definition comes from?
It wouldn't necessarily be where your definition comes from.
Okay.
Okay, so that term is coming out of the state statute. And
okay.
At this point, the state statute has not, in regards to that section, defined abuse of authority.
Any other questions? Perhaps we said what we can say about this situation then. For now, it does affect, I think, plans for future training. I think I understand better where we may be headed in that direction. I would say that, as I understand it, the city councilor is saying that there are implicit powers and that we need to be trained to do what we are going to be doing. That's the reason. So we should remember that the sessions that are talked about are to give us the education that we feel that we need in order to do our job. That would be the implicit power. The thing that makes me feel least capable of doing my job is that I've seen in one document after another that have been adopted in other cities and things like that, definitions of abuse of authority. I think it would be very useful to me to hear both from the police department, from the law department, and perhaps from civil liberties groups, how they understand abuse of authority before we decide how we're going to interpret abuse of authority. Troubles me that it's a floating term. And if I were a police officer, I would say, you mean they can call anything that I'm accused of as an abuse of authority? That seems very strong language to me. So if I were to propose something for a training session, I would really like to begin with the terms that we are dealing with here, because they're so primary to our functions now. And to me, the most curious is the abuse of authority question. So that's a thought. I'll see what others think about training, future plans for training.
I do think it's a strong term, but I think, you know.
I think it benefits us.
Yeah, and I think we just have to work within, you know. They gave us these list of terms that we have to within, and so it is strong to say that someone abused their authority, but I mean, that's kind of how we have to operate.
Right.
I think that's a good place to start. I think you start with the elephant one bite at a time. Is that what they say? And so, you know, if that's all we come up with tonight, that's a big enough place to start that you could envision that taking more than one meeting even.
So it sounds like what we might be talking about is a session where we become better acquainted with what abuse of authority means from, I think, ideally different perspectives. I really want to make sure that the officers are comfortable with the way we're defining abuse of authority, as well as the citizens, as well as the legal department. But it sounds to me like we may be headed in the direction of actually trying to write our definition of abuse of authority. This is what we're going to interpret abuse of authority to mean. Otherwise, every time we go into a meeting, we say, what do you think? Abuse of authority? Yeah, I don't know. You know, I had scrambled eggs this morning. Feels like abuse of authority to me. You know, it seems like we have to have some fairly concrete way of talking about what it means.
I don't know. It's almost like we would vote on it, in my opinion, because we may have different definitions. Come up with one general definition that we all...
So you think it's
right
voting case by case, you're thinking?
I would think.
Okay. That might be right, too. That might be right, too. That'd be a way to look at it.
As we
I
see
hate
more.
To box us into one definition, and then we're like, wait, we
hard
forgot
to
about
we get
this.
There, right?
We forgot
you
about
make
that.
Make them fit in there, yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Well, if that's... So in a sense, we've got two different pictures of what you might call... our job preparation. One is preparations, you know, by being having a session where we're instructed, and others learning on the job. And I think what you're proposing, we may have to learn on the job.
I don't mind hearing from other parties on what they feel, but I don't want that to box me into what I feel is use of force. So I don't mind hearing those options, but then just taking those into account.
Right, I hear you. So yeah. Would it be useful in terms of your making your individual decision on a case if you did hear those? Would it be a useful education?
Yeah, I mean, thing? I don't think it can hurt us.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think we should write down a specific.
Okay.
Yeah, because I still want to make sure that we're like, you know, we're able to still review all of the, and we are able to still review all of the cases. And so I think a definition might box us in more.
I hear you.
By our hands.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I hear you. Okay. So, I also hear Reese going.
That's just a lot to consider.
It's a lot to consider. Yeah, it is a lot to consider. Well, the advantage of having devoting the first of our any training sessions that we do as part of the board meetings to this, we'll be able to start considering it. And I hear very much what you're saying. Maybe we don't need to be tied to a particular definition. Maybe you almost develop a tradition of how abuse of authority is being interpreted by examining case after case, and that might be the way forward. So I think that right now that looks like the way forward. If we find out that doesn't work, we can revisit. Any other comments on future plans for training? I don't know how to arrange that session, again, because I think we should invite different perspectives, if possible, so that we understand how generally people are understanding abuse of authority, if we use that term. So it'd be very useful, again, I think, if the department had some input in that, city legal, which has, you know, very familiar with all sorts of terms like that, and I don't know, maybe the general public has an opportunity to chime in as well at our meetings. That'd be satisfactory. I do think it's terribly important to hear the department's view on how they understand abuse of authority.
But I was thinking when you first brought up needing a panel of different perspectives, I thought possibly someone from the Boone County Prosecutor's Office and a defense attorney, maybe someone from the Public Defender System, something like that, where you can hear what they, you know, like in the context of what does case law say, and they're familiar also from both sides of the perspective of
that would be wonderful cases. Rose. Is it reasonable to think that we can put that together for next month's meeting?
I mean, it depends if they're available or not. Yeah, so I will reach out to some folks and see what I can come up with for you all.
I think I feel that would be very useful to get
very helpful.
That set of perspectives, yeah. Thank you, Rose. That's a great idea. Okay. Shall we move on to future plans for reviews of complaints? In a way, we sort of discussed that, I think, at this point.
Kind of got so ahead of ourselves.
I think we know where we are, unless anybody has an additional comment. And in a way, we may have just proposed an item for next month's agenda, right, that we would like to ideally get this panel that Rose is talking about together to talk about how we should understand the term abuse of authority.
With regard to training, I mean, I'll set up this session as the first session. What I would kind of like for you all to think about, you don't have to tell me tonight, maybe next meeting, and let me know your preference. As we start arranging training, do you want to do it as like 1 hour or 90 minutes during this regular meeting, which then is broadcast, or do you want to do like a special meeting on a Saturday that's more informal? Think about things like that and it could vary based upon what you wanted training on. You can pick and choose, but that will then also help me as I'm trying to schedule training to know what dates and that sort of thing we're looking at.
Good, and the NACOL list is quite interesting. I have a little cherry picking I did on that I might consider too. We might, but maybe we go one bite at a time, as Reese says, and deal first with that definition problem, and then make plans for future sessions. Anything else that we want to talk about putting on next month's agenda? I think we are then ready for general comments from members of the public, members of the board and staff. And again, I will go ahead and read the rule, and I think Stephen's our timekeeper here. Individual members of the public will be allowed 3 minutes to address the board. Representatives of groups will be allowed 5 minutes to address the board. And so I welcome any member of the public who would like to comment to step forward.
So, Renee Carter, and I'm representing Race Matters Friends. So, I would like to express my concerns about how the focus of this ordinance, Doug, that you're so worried about the officers. This law or this change to where you've had to change your ordinances already to protect officers. I want to see us be concerned about whether or not citizens are being rightfully represented. I was very concerned when I found out that, rightfully so, the mayor is going to stand up and speak out for Amendment 3. But where is she for this? Where is she for the rights of people who have been marginalized and abused by police department, but she doesn't want to stand up and say anything? She's afraid that we'll get sued or, you know, something bad's going to happen if she speaks up on behalf of the CPRB and the way that you were doing business. The way you were doing business was very fair. This group had finally come to a point where they were representing citizens, but not in a way that was detrimental to the police department. And so we need to keep in mind here, who is the people who are being misrepresented now? And it seems odd to me that David Tyson Smith comes and talks and he gives you information and you don't want to listen to him, but you'll listen to Don Weaver, who gives you misinformation. He's a man that doesn't even like to read. And I have to wonder that some of you who are concerned about what David has to say and worried if it's because he's black. So what I'm asking from all of you is that you stay focused on citizens and you do the best that you can do and you advocate that the city stand up and ask for changes so that you can do the work that you were doing before. It was very productive. And I'm not saying the piece that you're going to do now isn't productive, but if you sit around and worry about whether or not the police officers are going to be treated fairly, that's already been taken into account. So I'm asking you to worry about citizens. Citizens who get shot, citizens who get arrested, and they haven't really done anything wrong. Profiling. Racial disparities. We need to be more worried about those things. The police have people to represent them, and the legislators are trying to take good care of them. Let's take care of our citizens. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chris Jones, Second Ward, speaking on behalf of Hold Como Accountable. I would like 5 minutes, please. I am going to reiterate what Susan Carter said. Susan Renee Carter, apologize. Only not so quite so eloquently because I do not have her words. I am very disappointed in Doug's insistence upon wanting to more narrowly define the new policies, you already are being cut off at the knees. And to further limit what you can do is beyond ridiculous. Furthermore, Doug, you kept on saying, you said at least three times, you wanted to make for sure that the officers are comfortable. I don't care if the officers are comfortable. What I care about is keeping our community safe. I care about keeping our community members not living in fear of when an officer knocks on the door. In the last few years, we've had officers who have killed people who have had mental health crises. We've had officers who have beaten up community members downtown. We have had officers be so violent to community members. We've had officers who have illegally arrested people. People don't feel comfortable complaining to the police department, and you are wanting to further limit those few resources that people do have to speak out by more narrowly defining. We already know the IA is not going to do anything. IA has been so detrimental to the community. We've had police officers who have said so many racist things on social media, who have done atrocious things to our community, and IA has been nothing but a police apologist. They are the ones that are making the police comfortable. You are here to make for sure that the community has a way of being able to speak out. This is the Citizens Police Review Board. This is the community's police review board. This is not the police officer's police review board. Yes, I want to make for sure that police officers, if you other police officers doing bad things, have a way in order to come to you and say, hey, this is a bad apple. I keep hearing about that bad apples are so few and far between, but you are wanting to further cut yourself off at the knees and saying that the police officers don't have that. You're wanting the bad apples to be more comfortable. I don't want the bad apples to be more comfortable. I want the community to be more comfortable. I want the good police officers to be able to come to you about the bad apples. Instead, what you guys have done is Doug has had closed door meetings with Don Weaver from the CPOA, who does not believe that you guys should have all this power. As Reese said when Don got up here and spoke, Don lied to you repeatedly when he was up at the podium. Instead, Doug's had closed door meetings with Paul Dickinson. And whenever I walked in on this, they walked behind the doors and Paul Dickinson told me that it was none of my business, even though they admitted that they were talking about CPRB business. I am so ashamed of you, Doug, of what you've said, of what you've done. I hope that you go back to the way you were when you first started as chair, because you were such a good chair, and you were not wanting to make the police officers comfortable. I don't know what changed, but I really hope you guys get back to focus. I hope that there's an amendment to this police review bill, because you guys need more power, not less. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments from members of the public? Members of the board?
I can go last.
Go ahead, Stephen.
No.
I want to clarify the in my note that I sent around, I said, I wish we could have a cup of coffee and talk about this. Frankly, guys, this is our chance. I feel like when we were doing things that were like, putting motions on in parliamentary, we could not talk quite as freely. My take on this, and those of you who saw what happened at the city council are aware of this, is that the city council was in error in assuming that this law applied to the Columbia Board at all. And at one point, we had a tied vote about whether they should take a time to think about whether it does, in fact, apply to the Columbia Board, because it clearly was designed, and that's one of the things that David Tyson Smith made clear, that the sponsors of the bill said that they weren't talking about a board that operated like ours. They were talking about the St. Louis Board. They were surprised to hear that it was something that was going to be applied to our situation. Again, I like the plain language of the law when I understand things. I won't go into it all over again, but I read the plain language of this bill, and all it says is that we can't have binding authority to make disciplinary and other decisions. We'd never had binding authority. So I find it somewhat upsetting and perverse that the city council decided that this applied to us when it was neither the intent nor, from my point of view, the plain language of the bill. Now, with regard to the question of where do we go from here, I want to understand how tight the box we are in is, which is the reason I want to raise this question of whether there is a tradition in America of understanding what abuse of authority is before we start going after abuse of authority things. I want to understand what our restrictions are, partly because I want to be able to make an argument, and I would encourage others to make an argument to the city council that they need to reconsider that decision. I know that they are protecting themselves from some sort of mysterious legal threat that repeatedly members of the council would say, is there some particular, and
it was not named.
It was not named. So again, we're now in the point where we can actually make free comments here. My comment is, I think we should observe, we have been instructed that this is the law. I think we should observe this strictly until the city council reverses its decision. It may be a year, because we might have to go through the state legislature again, but there is no reason in terms of the powers of the city council that they can't reconsider this decision and say, you know, you're right, we're putting you in too small a box, and there's no compelling legal reason to do so, so let's get you out of the box. And so that's my personal position here. At this point, I find myself in an odd situation, because it's not within the powers of the board for us to be taking any political stand at all or making any recommendation on this, so I'm just speaking for myself on that.
Can't send a letter, but I suppose they can watch.
Right, I suppose they can watch.
I just wanted to make a real quick comment to members of the public and to the board. I 100% support Doug and what he has been working towards. He has spent hours upon hours trying to figure out, understand, and interpret this new law. You have no idea the amount of time that he has spent trying to better educate himself so that he can better educate us on what we need to do when we come together. So I just have to say that you've done an amazing job. You know, we're not always going to agree on everything. I mean, that's why we have a board of the group of people that we have, with all different, you know, experiences. So I just felt that was very important, that, you know, we continue to support him as he's volunteering his time the same as we are, but he's put a lot of time in here, a lot of time, so.
Other comments by members of the board?
Yeah, I'd like to second that as well. I see the time that Doug puts into this, and it's amazing to me. I wish I had that fortitude to be able to do what you do. And the passion that you have for this is very uplifting. Because when I walked in here today, I thought, what are we even doing here? You know, I felt crushed, yeah, to tell you the truth, absolutely crushed, thinking that this board really doesn't do anything any longer. After hearing Rose speak, your questions, because I know how your mind works, because I've sat alone with you a few times in small groups, I know how your mind works. You need to understand this. That's going to help us understand this. And I think if we understand it, we can go forward in a more productive manner. And I feel better after this meeting, to tell you the truth. And in my opinion, the people that put this together may have inadvertently given us an out with exactly what you're talking about. Because misconduct, it's a pretty open term. So they may accidentally given us what we needed.
Umbrella, yeah.
To tell you the truth. That's my opinion.
Well, two things, I suppose. I couldn't say anything, I guess better than that. So I won't. So thank you. And you know, this, so Rose, first of all, I'm not going to be at the next meeting in October because I got to go to California for work. But in respect of that, of course, you know, we got our letters asking, you know, would we, you know, renew our terms? And that was something I'd been considering for a while. And I've decided not to. So this will be my last meeting.
That's a loss.
Yes. Yeah, it is.
Didn't see that coming.
100% loss. I've really enjoyed working with all of you. You know, the city council, it's kind of hard to get over that, but I intend to make some public comment on Monday, a little more put together, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Comments by members of the board? It sure is. It's a real loss. And thank you for saying that you'll speak at the city council. That's important.
Yeah. If you're asked, you answer. So.
Any other comments by members of the board? Members of the staff?
I have a question. I want to go over the items for next month's agenda. If I can have this training arranged, we would have that. And then I did not know, this time we removed the reports from the Human Rights Commission and the Positive Connections Training Outreach and Ride-Alongs. I didn't know if you wanted that removed going forward or not.
Are we allowed to keep it in?
That was a big topic of debate during the city council, the ride-along, so I don't, you know.
I mean, yes, you can. You're encouraged to do ride-alongs. So the reason why we had it as a report was so that we could keep track of that and put it in the annual report. Positive Connections was originally the first board's idea to, you know, if they heard or saw good behavior on the part of police officers, they would report that as well. Training, obviously, if you do training, we like to report that in the annual report. So having that report section on there allows us to gather that information. If you'd prefer not to have it on the agenda, you would just email me the information. I'd put it in the annual report from your email. With regard to the Human Rights Commission, you still have the Human Rights Commission liaison, although she could not be here tonight. So if you want to hear from her as to the work of the Human Rights Commission, I mean, you can listen to that. That is educational for you and can be considered training as well.
So you'll still do an annual report?
Yes, okay. You're required to do an annual
still
report.
Okay.
I as I said, I'm concerned that if we interpret literally the statute, I don't see Positive Connections as being something that lies within our power. If I take the statute seriously, and I actually recall a conversation with the city councilor about this, there was a question about whether people who were not appointed directly by the city council would be allowed to serve, which complicates things. But I certainly think hearing a report from the Human Rights Commission is not specifically listed among our powers, and we're told that we can't do things that aren't specifically listed, so I feel like it shouldn't be on the agenda. And I'm upset about that. But again, I think if we're told that this is the law we're to obey, I think we should obey this law.
It's fluid. We can come back at some point if we want to.
We could come back and revisit that.
Amend it, add it back.
Right. Amend it and add it back, right. So, we can certainly continue to think about that. Don't get me wrong. But right now, I'm just expressing my concern that that seems not to be in accordance with the law we're asked to follow. So I would not favor adding them back in. I should say, I think even, and this is the spirit of what Rose was saying, if somebody else feels that they want to add it in, they can say so now, or they can send a note to Rose and we can.
So for now, I take it off, right?
For now, take it off, I think.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I think it would be nice to know, at least from the Human Rights Commission, what they're going to be doing moving forward, because that could be considered training for us. Like if there are events, I mean, I know that specifically it's not about us going to and doing any outreach for events, but just knowing that they're, you know, making reports and letting us know.
I hear what you're saying, yeah. I would be comfortable. I would be for that reason, with that on the table as a reason, I would be comfortable with leaving the report from the Human Rights Commission on. And I'm getting some nods.
I mean, it's a board decision. Okay, I was just saying.
Yeah, no. Let's assume it's on. I mean, we've got enough interest on the board to see that that is a legitimate bit of training that we'll leave the report from the Human Rights Commission on. Any other?
So just as a reminder, if you do ride-alongs, if we're not having it as a report at the next meeting, just email me the details and I'll copy that into the annual report. Similarly, if you do training on your own, send me that information. I'll put it in the annual report.
No more comments from the public or members or the staff. We have on the agenda a motion to go into closed session, but as I understand it, there is no actual business that we need to be doing, and I think we've been informed about the outcome of those cases that were talked about, so I don't see that we need a motion. If somebody wants to make a motion into closed session, to go into closed session, this would be the time. All right, I see that our next meeting date is set for October 9th. We're gonna have a couple of absences. I may be iffy myself for some health reasons, but we'll talk about that if it comes up. So I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Seconded.
Moved and seconded that we adjourn. All those in favor, or is that a roll call? I can't remember.
No, it's okay. Not happening.
All those in favor of adjournment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.